We'll continue here at Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So Paul praises them for having a faith in something, a faith that, well, it's in something that they had heard so far. Whatever they had heard about this, they believed. Whether they had heard the ancient Jewish faith, or some had probably heard that Messiah had come and died and resurrected, and that he was Jesus of Nazareth. So some of those whom Paul wrote to were Jews. There were others that you could call Jew blessers or Jewish allies or Jewish associates, or in the King James, sometimes they're called Greeks. The Greeks were Gentiles that came to God by blessing Israel. They came into the synagogues to learn the wisdom and knowledge of God in the scriptures, where they were kept in the synagogues. And to come to God in that way, at least until they heard Paul's gospel. So Paul was writing to them. Romans 1:12 confirms that understanding of Romans 1:7, called to be saints. That he was calling them to be saints because he wanted their faith to be a mutual faith with his faith, which would comfort him. Romans 1:12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. In Romans 1:12, he was writing this in order to establish them, to make them stable, and so that he would be comforted by their mutual faith. He wanted to be comforted that they come into a mutual faith, because they didn't yet have a mutual faith with his faith. They were unaware of what Paul was writing to them. That's why he needed to write this epistle. And they needed to read it. And so do people today. Well, that sums up the tell them what you're going to say part. Now let's go to the end of the epistle of Romans and look at how he told them what he had told them. In other words, he summed it up in a briefer form so they would be reminded of the totality of the epistle, what he had covered going through the epistle. Look in Romans 16:25-26. Now to him that is of power to establish you. I like that, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's way, his powerful way of saving people. People that believe that gospel, that Christ died for their sins. Well, here's power to establish you. Now to him that is of power to establish you. Paul is closing out the epistle, and he's praying, and he inserts this establishment doctrine on the way to giving glory to God in Romans 16:27. And I'm going to skip ahead here to verse 27, because that explains the first few words of verse 25. To God only, this is Romans 16:27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So in reading Romans 16:25, it would be fair to read, here's the way Paul wrote it, or it was translated, now to him that is of power to establish you. Well, in the context of Romans 16:27, to God only wise be glory, it would be fair to read 16:25. Now Glory to him that is of power to establish you. I always wondered what that was talking about there. Now to him that, what are you giving to him? Are you announcing something to God that has power to establish you? Are you doing some work? Why does it say now to him that, now I direct my attention to him? Nothing quite made sense until I realized he's getting ready to say what he said in verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. But he starts off saying it, and he gets into these three means of establishment, the progressive ways of being established. Now to him that is of power to establish you. Now glory to him that is of power to establish you. That's what Paul and the translators meant when they included all of Romans 16, 25, 26, and 27 with no punctuation period until after forever near the end of Romans 16, 27. So Paul went on in verse 25 to list, starting in verse 25, to list three things according to which they will be established. It's not automatic. It's not forced on them. They still have the choice to ignore God's word or go along with it. But the place you start is with the first establisher, my gospel. If you want to be established, you have to start with the first part, believing Paul's gospel, the gospel that Christ died for your sins. They're all died for. You don't carry them anymore. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And we read elsewhere, he was resurrected for our justification. But those were things that he had talked about as he talked about my gospel in Romans chapters 1 through 5. Now to him his power is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And then next we see the first connective word, the conjunction and. My gospel, and then the second thing in the series of three things that establish you is the preaching of Jesus Christ, and not just any preaching of Jesus Christ like they did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He specifies, he says, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the telling of the secret or revealing of the secret, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It's shown. It's made known. So that's the mystery of Christ, the mystery or secret that Christ held. And it was given unto Paul to reveal that mystery and to preach Jesus Christ, not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to preach Jesus Christ not according to Acts 1 through 8, not according to Israel's gospel or to Jesus' first coming to earth, what he preached to Israel. After he preached that to Israel, Israel fell from God's favor and from being the nation that God would work through in the world. Not according to the way in which he was sent to Israel. He was sent to Israel, not to us. When Christ came the first time on earth, he was sent as a minister of the circumcision. And it says in Romans 15:8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Those fathers would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Made unto them, not unto my fathers. or ancestors. But now Christ sent Paul to preach Jesus Christ according to the secret, or this mystery, which was not made known when Jesus was still on earth. It was not made known until after his ascension. Look at Romans 15, verse 16, about the Gentiles. The verse 8, Christ came as a minister of the circumcision. Well, what about the Gentiles? Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. But it has been made known now, according to the beginning of Romans 16:25. Let me read those verses together here. This is Romans 16:25 and the first five words of 26. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, made known. Then, after that second establisher, the preaching of Jesus Christ, there's a second conjunction, and it's followed by the third establisher, the third thing which establishes those Romans, and us too, by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And when he's talking about the scriptures of the prophets, that fits in right after Acts, after Romans 8. It fits in where we've got, as you read it, it's Romans 9, 10, and 11, before he gets to godly living because of these three establishers. So he's talking, the reason he brings up scriptures of the prophets is not that we should follow the law they talked about, or the obedience, or the works that have to come from Israel to prove their faith. None of that. It's because it's to show what he talks about in Romans 9, 10, and 11, that Israel fell, that they are no longer a way to God. You can't get saved by Israel's gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts 1 through 8. It's not, God doesn't do that anymore. What he does is what Paul revealed in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, that we just paraphrased. That third means of establishing us is the same as what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 16. Talking about Timothy learning the scriptures before Paul was saved, in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's a abbreviation of the gospel, because it doesn't mention that he was buried and rose again, but That's the crux of it. You find those the fact that Christ was he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. That's just the facts. It's also just the fact that he died for our sins. What makes it apply to us is when we believe it, when we put our trust, when we don't try to add to what God did as if it wasn't enough. It was enough that he died for your sins. He died the death penalty that was due to come to you, to me. It's through faith, though. And through faith, the through faith part is what he was teaching, and that's what counts, what their faith was in. What were they trusting? Their works? Their circumcision? Their doing the law? No, their faith was to be in Christ. that he was, for them, it was to, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. For us, we go beyond that in Rome, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, believing that Christ died for my sins, trusting in that alone, and that's sufficient. Faith is to be relying on something. It's to be relying on Christ, in this case, that he died for all our sins to give believers everlasting life. That's the promise of the gospel, life. What do the scriptures of the prophets tell us? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? Well, it talks about it, and then it defines it. In verse 2, it talks about it, the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And here it is in verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, so Jesus is the Son of God. Concerning his son, Jesus, that means Savior, Christ means Messiah or Anointed One to rule the kingdom. Our Lord, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and that confirms and reemphasizes his Messiahship. The Messiah was to come from the line of David, and declared to be the Son of God, there's the sonship again, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. There's the resurrection. So the gospel of God says that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't say anything in there about you have life if you believe this, does it? There's no promise of salvation in the gospel of God. It's the facts about who Jesus is. We need to believe that he had the ability to die for our sins because he was the Son of God. So the scriptures of the prophets tell us about the facts of the gospel of God, about who Jesus Christ would be when he came, as he told them, as he was writing to those in Rome, they were to know that the gospel of God was to help them understand who Jesus is. It was to point him out so that they would be able to trust him. The scriptures of the prophets are the third means of establishing someone. From Acts chapter 9 through at least Acts chapter 19, Paul started with the gospel of God when he would preach in the synagogues. And it would be from the prophets, scriptures of the prophets, as an introduction before later preaching our gospel of salvation to the Jews and Greeks that believed the gospel of God. That's not just a fact. I mean, that's a daring thing that he did. He would go in. If you look, let me just bring this up. Excuse me a minute. Bring up the fact that what happened earlier, what working conditions Paul was working under when he would go into the synagogue and preach that Jesus is the Lord, he's the Son of God, the Messiah. Look at John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that talking about Jesus, that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated. So Paul, that's what Paul did. He made a practice of going into each, at least 9 different synagogues there in Romans 9 through 19. That's right, 9 through 19. And he would preach that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So he would not only take out the believers, but he would be forced out eventually. Sometimes they didn't catch on very fast, and he got to preach longer in the synagogues. But eventually he had to take the believers out to a Paul's meeting, what would be the start of a local body of Christ gathering. So when we sum this up, we see that in Romans 16, verses 25 to 26, Paul said 3 things that establish a person and bring you to establishment. They would be, firstly, my gospel, Romans 16:25, and secondly, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, though, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by Paul preaching it. And thirdly, the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And he could do that for all nations, even though he wasn't yet sent until 3 verses later in Acts 20, verse 6. He had been in the temple in Acts 18 when the Lord told him, I will send you, I will me, meaning in the future, I will send you to, well, I'm going to have to look that up so I don't mess it up here. The Word of God is precious and it's so accurate, and I don't want to inject my mistakes into it. That's the verse I should have posted earlier. And here's, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Remember, the apostles were said not to go under the Gentiles or in the way of the Samaritans. But here, Paul is being sent specifically to far-off Gentiles, far hence from where he was, to the far-off Gentiles. So, when we apply Romans 16, verses 25 and 26 outline to the epistle, we see that my gospel is taught by Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 11. Paul preached and taught that each person needs a Savior in order to have eternal life, the eternal life of God. So starting in Romans 5, verse 12, you see Paul preaching the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You see him teaching about the power of God in saved people, the new creation, the new creature, I should say. And here, Paul does not use the word mortify like he does in Colossians 3, 5 to 7, but you can read that he tells us we are dead to sin, dead to the law, and that because of that we should reckon ourselves to be so, be what the fact is. The fact is we're dead to sin, dead to the law, so reckon yourselves to be that way. It's a possibility. It's not out of reach like it was for any of us before we were saved. We should reckon ourselves to be so instead of falling back into the same pattern of sin. Because we are dead to sin, we can and should reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. He tells us that we are not under the law. These are all things that are involved with the mystery, things that were not told before. I don't think that he uses the term mystery in explaining it in Romans 6, 7, and 8, but those are the chapters that handle the new creature and how we respond as part of the new creature. And then we go on to the second and, second connective conjunction there, between the second and third means of being established. And in Romans 16:26, we start off after the first five words, and we are established by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. The prophets had prophesied about Israel and Israel's future in Romans 9, 10, and 11. Paul explained that those prophecies from... He explained that, well, he came from a different perspective in his teaching about them. And he told why we can't be saved by believing what Israel was told to believe. And he told what happened to Israel. He says that these three things establish you. So what he was doing was preparing these people, the Romans that would read this letter, and us. Then the rest of the epistle, chapters 12 through 16, for the most part, he taught them what this established life is and what it produces. In other words, the way to live as an established believer. So he started off in Romans 12, verse 1, and he said, I beseech you, therefore, in other words, by all this that has preceded, by these three ways that God establishes you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's all part of that Romans 6:16 choice, and Romans 6:19, the choice we make to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God has done the work in you. Now, here's how to live it out. And then he went on with several chapters of exhortations to godly living. But we're going to stop here, and then in the next lesson we'll get back to the consecutive reading and study of Romans, probably about verse 13. I think we got up to Romans 1, verse 13, we should start at next week. Okay, I'm done for tonight. Any comments, questions, please?